you'd like to follow along, there's a bulletin insert. And we are in Matthew 5, 17 to 20. This is Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, the most popular sermon there probably is. One of the most talked about quoted texts in the Bible is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is on the mountain and he's bringing down, just like Moses brought down the commandments, he's bringing down the commandments with a new emphasis, with new insight. Verse 17. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, iota, not or stroke, not a dot, shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. The commandments, pretty big deal in our culture. They used to be posted in all kinds of places, didn't they? Would you not find the Ten Commandments posted in the public school system? How long ago was that? Does anyone remember? I thought I heard someone speak. I don't know, it's been a while, right? Someone have a guess?
Too long,
there we go, thank you. True. Used to be up in the courthouses, is it still up in the courthouses? It's kind of getting pulled down, isn't it? What's the big deal with the commandments, and what do they have to do with us today? How have they affected our culture? How are they related to the fact that the United States of America might be is the best country in the world? The Ten Commandments are a big deal. They're game changers. But what's their role to us? Are we to try to keep them, and if we can't, are we doomed? Or Jesus said he fulfilled them. Do we sweep them under the rug and go, well, they don't really count for us? What if we're saved by faith through grace, by believing what Jesus did for us on the cross? So we don't have to keep the commandments anymore? Point one, the width of the law. Put width in there if you like. The commandments, the law, is the foundation of what the Bible teaches for us. It teaches us truths that are unpopular in our culture. The truths that we are sinful and that we need a Savior. The commandments teach us about what's right and wrong. They teach us about sin. They teach us about what God wants from us. Jesus said in verse 20, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, surpasses it, and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." And the crowd listening went, kidding me? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they created 600, more than 600, new laws on top of the commandments. They call it the traditions of men that they taught people to keep, that they could keep because they were focused on appearance. They were focused on external behavior. And they were considered really righteous and holy. And Jesus said, it's not good enough. commandments are serious. The commandments shed light on God's holiness. A word that we use, we've all heard of it. Do we know what it means? Commandments give us a glimpse of God's holiness, his perfection, his need for righteousness. I got this quote off the internet. I think it was the internet. I forgot to write down who quoted it, so I apologize to whoever said it, but it's good. We never committed a small sin because we've never offended a small God. All of our sins are big. Another theologian wrote, sin is not trivial. It is treason, an insurrection against heaven's throne. The commandments still matter. They're still in force. Look at Romans chapter 2, 12. All who sin, it's actually written in your insert, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by it. The commandments have a wide reach. Romans 3:20 says, there will be no one declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. No one will be declared righteous. Righteousness is what we want. As they sang this morning, righteousness is what we need to come before a holy God. In the Bible, righteousness is considered favor with God, being made right with God, righteousness. There will be no one who will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Did you catch that? You can't keep the commandments, it's saying. Through the law, what's the purpose of the commandments? Through the law, we become conscious of our sin. The law is blind. The law, and here's the least popular thing I've ever said in a sermon, probably. The law condemns us. It helps us to know something very important. It helps us to know we need a Savior. Point two, the death of the law. Jesus said in verse 18, for truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, King James has iota, I think, I like that, not the least stroke, King James says dot, I like that, of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Well, when I think about the commandments, I'm like, oh, I can do a lot of these. I mean, do not murder. Anybody here murder and is willing to admit it? Right? We're good, right? Well, the problem is, in the next couple verses, Jesus said, if you call someone raka, you're guilty of the hellfire. Whoa! Raka means empty-headed. I know some people, you give them a compliment how smart they are, they're like, no, my brain is a bucket of rocks, right? That's kind of what raka means. If you treat someone with contempt, like they're not important, you're guilty of murdering them. And so, last Wednesday in Bible study, I was explaining how I felt murdered by somebody. I was in line at a grocery store, and I shop at different places. I shop over at the Lake Inn, Food Line once in a while. I shop at the Fredericksburg. I shop here. It could be any grocery store. And I was in line. Actually, I should give a little background. So I'm out visiting, and our kids are over with our grandkids. And since we've moved here, we're 2 hours away. They visit us less often, right? So we go to them as often as we can. Well, we had a surprise visit. So DeAndre and Chase were here with Mason and Kinsley. I was really excited, and I enjoyed my last visitation, and I'm heading out, and I get a text. Please stop and pick up milk. Oh, darn. You know, what is with no milk these days? Three daughters. One of them doesn't drink real milk. One of them doesn't drink soy. And one of them doesn't drink almond. I mean, we have to have the right milk in the fridge. So I'm like, okay, fine. So, run the food line. And as I'm walking past the line, unfortunately, I see Doritos, BOGO, right? Buy one, get one. I'm like, man, I'm going to grab a couple of those. So I grab a couple things. So I'm in line with my Doritos and my milk and a couple other things. And one thing Dana is kind of rubbed off on me is to check the receipt. So I check the receipt, Doritos, $4.50. Doritos, $4.50. Whoa, wait. You just charged me twice for the Doritos. And the guys, and I was really excited because there was no one else in the line. I went right up to the register. I'm like, I am going to be home in 20 minutes. Thanks to that detour. It's 20 now, but that's okay. So I'm going to be home soon. And I get in line, and the Doritos don't come up. I'm like, can you take that off? It's BOGO. So Tony had his BOGO. So he's hitting the buttons. This guy's about teenager, I think. And he can't figure it out. So he gets on his radio. Can I have someone come over here and help me on the register number, blah, blah, blah. We're waiting. We're waiting. There's a line forming behind me. I say to the lady behind me, like, you might want to pick a different line. She's like, no, you're fine. Someone gets behind her. So finally he says, I don't think she has her headpiece on. I don't think anyone has her headpiece on. I'm like, okay. So he sees the manager, who's by the door, talking to someone. And he walks over to the manager and says, hey, can you help me over here? Da, da, da. So the manager comes, or the manager stays, sorry. He comes back. He's like, yeah, she's just over there socializing. She'll be here in a minute. She keeps talking. And the people behind me are starting to make comments. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I really want to get home. I'm getting a little upset. Has it happened to you? Am I the only one? It was loaded. It was a loaded thing because I had people was excited at home. So he says she's socializing, and we're waiting and waiting. And so he goes, I'll go ask her again. So now people behind me, we're all staring at him, the manager, maybe assistant manager. And he walks over to her, and she says, get someone else. So the lines, like people, like, I'm not the only one getting upset. It kind of feeds each other. Right? So another person comes over, an older lady, and she can't figure it out either. So she's hitting buttons. So finally, the manager comes over and goes, boop, 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 done. I'm looking at her going, sorry? Or, are you sorry? You can be, are you nothing? She was just, I thought, I'm going to explain this in Sunday school and how I felt murdered. And as I was explaining it, something hit me. I commands. I murdered her too. I felt anger at her. I don't know her situation. The cashier said she was talking to someone socially, but did he know that for sure? Maybe something drastic. Maybe this is the one day out of the whole year where she was having a bad day and didn't want to deal with the register. Maybe something off. Maybe her dog died today. I don't know, but I judged her in my heart. I was so, Danny, when I got home, Danny goes, did you say anything? I'm like, I couldn't. Because if I would have said something, it would have been, the tone would have been terrible. We're all commandment breakers. Your pastor's a commandment breaker. Since I figured out, because I'm like, I'm going to leave her a bad review on Google. And then I figured out that I murdered her too, and I need to let it go. The law reaches deep. It reaches down, down, down to the depths of our soul. I didn't murder her. I didn't say anything to her, but in my heart, I judged her. We can break the commands with just our thoughts. Jesus made that clear in verse 27. You shall not commit adultery, but if you look at a woman lustfully, you've committed it with her in your heart. Wow, what a downer sermon. You sinners, you're all condemned. And me too. Well, you know what? As Puritan Thomas Watson said, till sin be bitter, Christ will not be sweet. Tim Keller wrote, revival occurs when those who think they already know the gospel discover that they do not really or know it fully. What I've seen spiritual growth happens is when we let the commandments and we process them. I had to process that. I thought I was murdered. I had to process that to understand that I broke the commandment too. Wow, it actually takes a little bit of contemplation to understand our sinfulness and how deep it goes. So, point one, the width of the law. Point two, the depth. It reaches really down deep. Okay, it's going to get better, I promise. Point three, the fulfillment of the law. Jesus said in verses 17, I do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus kept every dot, every iota of every commandment. The hardest commandment of all, to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus kept it perfectly. He is the commandment keeper. And the Bible says that when he died on the cross, he nailed the commandments to the cross with him. Thank God we are saved because Jesus, the law keeper, kept the law so we wouldn't have to. There is salvation for those who believe in Jesus Christ. We are saved from the law. So, another incident that happened to me this week. Does anybody have Nextdoor app? Nextdoor, a couple of you, that's it? Okay, so Nextdoor app is like a Facebook for your neighbors only. You actually have to prove where you live to get on this in your neighborhood. So someone posted something very negative about the neighborhood and about, in fact, he actually said in the post, where I live in Blue Ridge Shores, I am living in a nightmare and I never can see to wake up. So this guy's really upset about his neighbors. And so someone else who goes to our church actually posted a positive post. How we like Blue Ridge Shores. We're trying to keep it positive, right? So I'm like, oh, maybe I should follow suit. Good example for me. So I posted, I love my neighbors, I love my neighborhood, I'm grateful to celebrate my freedom in Blue Ridge Shores. At which point, this person who was upset responds to me specifically and says, are you kidding me? We have the same neighbors. I'm like, whoops. And he went on to say what they've done to him, how they've hurt him. Not the neighbors that live directly next to me. I'm just going to stop right there. So different neighbors. And how my post was ridiculous. Publicly embarrassed me. Publicly kind of made me look stupid. And I wanted to say, okay, buddy, let me tell you something. We have different houses, different neighbors, and different ways of dealing with people. No, wait. So I didn't respond. Here's what I did. God, give me something to say, because all I feel like doing is justifying myself. And guess what came to me? This thought came to me that I would have never made up. I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, sir, his name. I'm sorry for the experiences that you've gone through. I hope things get better. That's it. No defense, no make myself look good, nothing to justify what I said, just empathy and a good wish for him. I am free from the law. The only one who matters is not this person, not the whole community of Blue Ridge Shores. It's God. That's who I have to please. That's the freedom. We are not under law, we are under grace. So Romans 6:15 says, so what are you saying? Paul speaking to the Jews who are reading the text. Should we sin more because we're not under law? Is that what I'm saying? Are we not under law now, so we don't need the commandments? They don't matter to us? No, that's not what I'm saying. In fact, what I'm saying is, the Bible says we're law keepers. We already kept the law. And keeping the law is life for us. It's what God wants for us. It's not taking our fun away. It's actually blessing us with life. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do then? Just believe and do nothing? No, having faith, believing in Christianity, is not the easy road. It's the tough road. Here's what I think we should do, and I offer this to you as application. Do the hard work of stomping on your pride. Do the hard work of listening to someone say something you don't want to hear and being open that there's a little truth in it. Be open to letting to process your thoughts, to think about what sin is yours in a conflict. And then cling to the cross. Cling to the grace of God. That's what faith looks like. It's us being needy before a holy, loving God. Thanks be to God. So we are free from the commandments, but they are life to us. So why would we not keep them? We have the freedom to worship. We have the freedom to live feeling accepted by God. And we have the freedom to celebrate our salvation, what a country we live in.